It's Monday, April 11th, and we are en route. Me, Reed Martin, Teddy Spencer, flying to Washington, D.C., the Fulcher Shakespeare Theater, where we are about to begin tech rehearsals and then performances of the world premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. Gentlemen, have the actors' nightmares started yet?
Make them stop, please. Make them stop.
Yeah, they never stop. They're always there.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 487, The Actor's Nightmares. The actor's nightmare for me used to be the measure of whether or not a show was going to go well. For when I was in high school, and I would always be nervous about the show, but the night that I had my first actor's nightmare, and I go, where the show is opening and I don't know any of my lines, I would wake up that morning going, great, I had it, it's going to be fine now. And that theory, that's not just superstition, there's actually some science to back this up, because the one time it didn't happen, the one time I never got the actor's nightmare, was a production of Iolanthe, the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta Iolanthe, which deals with the House of Lords and magical fairies. And
make up your own joke.
Well, we did, and everybody did. Yeah. Everybody did. And Strephon, the lead character, he's half fairy down to the waist. And I never got the actor's nightmare, and I was kind of worried about it. I never got the nightmare. What's going to happen? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Well, what did happen is that a cold swept through the entire cast. We called it, of course, the fairy flu, and so I was fine right up to the first two nights, and then I woke up Saturday morning of the closing night performance with 104 fever, and I went, the flu hit me, and I remember just being delirious and waking up and seeing my music teacher's face leaning over me. I thought, oh my God, the nightmare's continuing. I went, no, he's actually here in my bedroom going, yeah, we got to cancel the show.
Wow. I've got a fever, and the only prescription is act as nightmare.
Yeah, God, I wish we'd had some cowbell in Iolanthe. But he said, well, we're going to have to cancel. I went, no, we're not going to cancel. So I just drank a lot of water, sat in the wings when I absolutely wasn't necessary with a vomit bucket next to me. And so that it proves to me, that's scientific proof in my mind, that the actor's nightmare is a real thing.
Absolutely irrefutable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But now, my actor's nightmares have changed. I don't have the nightmares of, oh, it's opening night and I don't know my lines. For some reason, my nightmare has moved now, devolved into its graduation at high school or college, I'm not sure which, and I haven't taken any classes.
Yeah.
Mine is totally different. It's high school or college graduation, and there's one class that I've enrolled in time and time again and then just stopped going. And I don't know if I've been dropped or failed, but in either case, I'm not graduating.
Yeah,
that's a very specific version, I think, of the similar thing that I'm having.
That's very similar to mine, yeah. Thinking there's like a math class that I didn't complete or I failed and then I didn't make up, and that my graduate degree is null and void and total BS because of that. Yeah.
But that's I mean, mine is total BS anyway, but it is completed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What, your degree?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mine's total BA. But that's interesting that our actors' nightmares don't involve acting. They don't involve opening night.
It's anxiety. I mean, I'm sure undoubtedly people have studied this, but it's just like a feeling of illegitimacy, a little bit, right? You know, I'm a fraud, and I'm going to be found out.
Right. I've actually never had the classic actor's nightmare, the forgetting the lines nightmare, opening night nightmare. I've never had that one, yeah.
I have one very occasionally involving a production of The Mad Woman of Shiloh.
Which you did at Berkeley.
Yes.
Yeah.
And make up your own joke. Yeah. But
you did The Mad Woman herself?
No, I played a cop. But the dream I have is they've decided now, 36 years later, to remount the production, and it's opening night, and no one felt any need to rehearse. And so I get into costume, I walk out on stage, and I'm looking around and go, where do I go? What do I say?
Right. And do you? This is no reflection on your wife, Jane, who's far from mad.
No.
Most of the time.
Yes.
Not all the time.
No. She's angry occasionally, and usually with reason, but she's not mad.
I think what you're right is saying what you're saying is right. It's anxiety. I mean, for you and me, Reed, we have we're learning the lines. Admittedly, to a script that we wrote, we're learning the lines. Now, thankfully, Teddy did the workshop performances of Long Lost Shakes, and he knows all of his lines.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know.
Unfortunately, you've got a good strong back, and you can carry the two of us.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, it'll be nice. My back will be better now that we're not rehearsing in a basement, and I have to be crunched over. The majority of the time, yeah.
Well, and Teddy masks his boredom very well, as you and I are struggling through scenes that he's been doing for 6 months.
Right, with different actors.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There are scenes that I'm having trouble. I feel like I'm pretty good on the first act, and I'm about halfway there on the second act, and there's some scenes in the second act where I'm having trouble remembering the lines, and I think it's because I don't know what I'm doing. Mm. I literally haven't done the actor's homework of what am I doing? Why can't I remember these lines? I think our blocking is a little stale. The Cleopatra scene is the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
I'm just thinking, I'm just standing there. It seems like I need to do I as Cleopatra, the definitive Cleopatra, as you'll see.
Cleopatra, I
Cleopatra. And, yeah.
As I keep saying in rehearsal, Cleopatra and Batum, that was fun. Anxiety about learning the lines. And as you say, sometimes we haven't done the actor's work. Sometimes we haven't done the playwright's work very well.
Yeah.
Where, particularly in this show, finding actual bits of Shakespeare and cobbling it together, sometimes the transitions, the connections aren't necessarily there.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we want it to be textual, and sometimes it just needs to be subtextual.
Yeah.
It's the actor's homework filling in the moments between the lines. But I was describing it to somebody about that this show is a different process for us because we're not just going from sort of sketch to sketch to sketch. There's a narrative, and there are acting beats, and there are character choices, and it feels like typically we're doing sort of vaudeville acting with a little real acting thrown in. And in this show, I think it's mostly real acting with a little vaudeville acting thrown in.
How is that? How is that for you guys? Because this is the only show of yours I've worked on,
right.
So I haven't done the what you guys normally do. How is that for you?
Well, it's fun. It's like rehearsing a real play, and we have to figure it out because the text is the text. And we can modify a little bit. I mean, we can modify a lot if we want to.
It's funny. It doesn't feel... That part of it doesn't feel very different to me, but that goes back to, I think, our philosophy, which is, in comedy, you act it the same way as something serious. In fact, you do it even more real and more serious, and that's what makes it funny. But what's tricky for me is, as well as memorizing the lines, is we have a lot of things. It's unlike different shows for me in that I keep coming back to characters I've already been in the show. I keep coming back to Puck. I come back to, Lady M. I come back to King Lear. And so remembering what comes next. Because in the sketch shows, mostly we do the sketch and then that character's done. And in this show, we have to keep coming back. So there's memorizing the lines and then there's also memorizing which character am I next.
Yeah, that was Chad and Reed Chad and Dan talked about that a lot, how that was a challenge because they're used to just like having a thing and shedding it but now you have to come back and put that costume on again and make sure that that's ready again.
And remember where that character is in that character's journey of the evening, too. So keeping all those characters straight. I mean, that's part of that. That's one of the fun thing for me. And I can't wait to start putting on the costumes and working with the backstage crew who will be standing there with the costume.
Holding it up, saying, oh, I'm King Lear next.
Good. Yeah.
I'm Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, you can see us wandering around Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., mumbling our lines to ourselves and running into parking meters. Then next week, you can see us perform the world RSC premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Theater at the Folger Shakespeare Library. We'll be performing here until May 8th, and then we hit the road again, taking the complete history of comedy Abridged to Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. And very, very soon, in about
2 weeks, I think, we can tell you about something very exciting that will be happening this summer. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to Chicago's O'Hare Airport Terminal 3, where Teddy Spencer, Reed Martin, and I are talking about the anxiety we get leading up to a big opening night.
So here's the question. So the actor's nightmare is this anxiety. How is it good and how is it bad?
Oh, interesting. How is it good? Well, I think the anxiety is good because it's just you're working. I mean, that means we're not complacent.
Yeah.
We're going, oh, boy, we got a lot to do. I've put aside the book I'm reading, which is actually The Millionaire and the Bard, a biography of Henry Folger, the creator, founder of the Folger Shakespeare Library. And I'm really enjoying it, super enjoying it. But I put it aside because every time I pick it up, I go, no, go pick up your script, pick up your script, go over your lines. I have a 3-page speech at the end of the show spoken by a character I will not name. And I'm going, yeah, I should really lick that over again or a dozen times.
Yeah. I think the doesn't show complacency, which is good. But I think, the bad side of it would be that you're, being too hard on yourself, that it's there. And so I think there's a time and place for it, but when it comes to it, you got to just push it away
The worst part of it for me is that I end up waking up two or three hours before I would like to wake up because I'm going
you can use that time to study, but if you do that night after night, you're not getting enough sleep. For me, it's good in that to use it for motivation. Yes, it shows you care. Yeah. And if you use that sort of fear, as you say, anxiety, it's fear of looking bad or not doing it right.
How you use that actor's nightmare is important. Do you use that as motivation, or does that cripple you and make you do nothing and avoidance, and that would be the bad,
Right. Yeah, and so if it paralyzes you, it's bad. If you can use that to fuel you, to prepare, that's good. And then I think another way it can be bad is anxiety on stage. You want it before you go on, and then you want to be confident enough that you can relax and just be in the character. And for previews and even for our shows, it goes, for me, it sort of fades over time and sort of comes and goes, but early on there's always anxiety. But I think the best performances are late in the development process. You completely know the show, and you care enough not to care, and you're completely relaxed and confident, and that's when all kinds of things can happen.
Yeah, things can happen, and even no matter how you know the show, particularly our shows, which rely on audience participation and audience engagement, maybe is a better way of saying it, it's always going to be a different audience. So hopefully you'll always be getting something that'll kind of keep you alive and alert, so that complacency never goes away.
I guess this ties into it. One has this anxiety, these nightmares. What's the worst thing, besides getting sick on Iolanthe, that's actually ever happened? Have you ever totally dried on stage? Have you ever panicked?
I have. We've talked about this several times on the podcast before. I've dislocated my shoulder several times in performance.
Yes, I was there.
That's always fun. I remember in London when at the Arts Theater in 92, I had a really bad case of King George III's Revenge from, I don't know what it was from, but there were several times in both Act 1 and Act 2 where I just had to leave the stage and make it a 2-man show.
I'd totally forgotten that.
It's like, you guys handle the audience participation. I'll be back in about 5.
I was doing a show, and I was doing Damn Yankees in high school playing Joe, young Joe, and our dressing room was set apart from the theater by, it was another part of the school, and I just totally missed the curtain call, because I was out of the play for a while and just lost track of time and didn't make it there for a curtain call, which kind of made sense because, I was the younger version of the old man that became the old man again at the end. So
I haven't missed many. Well, every now and then, in an RIC show, the mistakes that happen are so easily glossed over because you can make fun of
you
them.
Just honor them, right?
Honor them.
As long as you don't ignore it.
You can lean into it.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
That's trickier with this show because we're not playing ourselves so much.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, if we do forget our lines, we'll say, I'm sorry, where was I?
Yeah.
But it will be more glaring, I think. than in other RSC shows.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that's anxious making about, you know, I think for any actor getting the show up is that, okay, we're going to get up there, we're going to perform this in front of people, and the people are going to have opinions, and some of those people will publish their opinions. And it's like, oh, but all right, sort of our future is relying on whether people like the show or not. You know, so far, I'm encouraged because all the people who've read the script or seen the show, particularly the people who really know and love their Shakespeare, have really loved the show. And I think from the workshop performances in Notre Dame and Napa Valley, even the people who don't know their Shakespeare quite so well, like little kids.
Yeah, that's the best part about it, is that, you know, you can be a Shakespeare aficionado or you can be a, you know, Shakespeare for dummies, and no experience or a ton of experience, it seems like people like it.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your actor's nightmare via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, dreamcatcher Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Henrietta Metcalf. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 487, 1461st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah. So it's gone well with the other cast, so the anxiety is, Austin, you and I better not screw this thing up.
Yeah, don't ruin this for me, you guys. Yeah. Exactly.
It's on us.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.